Today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. If you have a physical Bible, it'd be great to get it out now, or you can follow along on the screen. Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I will now pass it over to Reverend Ying for the sermon.
Fantastic. All right, can you hear me? I hope you can all hear me. Fantastic. Well, let me say also a very special welcome here, and even greater still, Merry Christmas to everyone, and all you will do a Merry Christmas as well. One thing we know about Christmas, the one thing we know is all about the mood. That's one thing we love about Christmas, it's about the mood. And the thing about Christmas, it's the singing, it's the carol singing. But also it's interesting to hear the different sort of songs that really hit the top charts during Christmas. Here's one song. I wonder if anyone knows what this song is, who wrote it, how long it took, and also the big question is, how does it make you feel at this Christmas time? Let's listen to the song. All right, who knows the song? All right, some of the young ones, come on, who knows the song? And even you guys on YouTube, this song makes him want to punch something. All right, okay. I'm not going to say who the head is, all right? What else do I want to see people say? Okay, who knows? Yeah. Thanks, Jonathan. Okay, no, sorry. Okay, how did it make you feel? Who knows who wrote the song? You must see the person. Anyone know the name? Mariah Carey. Who knows when it was first released? 94. Okay, here's the other question. 94. How long do you realize that this song now is top chart, number one in the United States hit list, number one. But it wasn't always 91. It wasn't number one. It took to 2019 before it came the number one hit single, right? Here's the other question. How long did it take Mariah Carey to actually write this song? How long, okay? I'm not going to even say, Jono. No, Jono's not the big deal. Who wants to say a week? 4 days? 4 days? Okay, let's go 1 day. 1 day? It actually took her 15 minutes. That's crazy, 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Thanks to Jeff Chan, who did the Google search and Wikipedia for me, right? But the thing about Christmas, one thing about Christmas is, if anything, it reminds us that Christmas really is all about parties. Christmas parties, it's also about sort of Christmas family dinners. That's the thing about Christmas. And many of you guys will actually go away back to your Christmas lunches. Some of you also have Christmas dinners. But the reality is, for many people, Christmas is actually quite far different from that. It's actually quite a lonely time. In fact, I was speaking to a friend just recently, and she said to me very honestly, she hates Christmas. It's so painful for her. She refuses to watch anything on television, listen to the radio, or even think about it because it just reminds her of what she does not have. So it's interesting that all the talk about parties and joy and peace, for many, many people, it is very, very different. So the question we're going to ask is, what's wrong with our understanding Christmas, with all this talk about joy It seems to be so elusive for most of us. What's wrong with it? And I think it's a good time to rethink about what Christmas is all about. Relook at this Christian message, right? So we're looking at Luke chapter 2. And this is the passage that was read out by us from Rebecca. And a few things I want to draw attention to. Notice the first thing we need to know about Christmas is simply this. That Christmas is about good news. And I want to emphasize the idea of news. It is good news. In other words, a lot of people think that Christianity is about good advice. The Christian message at this time is about good advice, good ideas, good opinions, right? Spend time with your family, think positive, etc., etc. But we actually want to say that the Christian message and Christmas is really about good news, not good advice, not good opinions. What's the difference? Well, you think about it, right? Someone tells you to work harder. That's good advice. Yes, we should work harder. Good advice. My kids tell me to exercise more. Yes, that's good advice. Good advice. In one ear and out the other. But it's still good advice, right? Some people say, well, I love your food. I think your food is very, very nice. Well, thanks for the compliment. That's a good idea. They are not good news. That's good advice, good opinions, good commentary. It's all good advice. But the Christian message is very, very different. The Christian message is about good news. Well, what's good news? Well, someone says to you, I just got engaged. What do you say? That's good news. Someone says to you, my wife is pregnant. And what do you say? Well, that's good news. Someone tells you that you got a job promotion. And what do you say? That is good news. See, good news is different to good advice. Good advice is ideas that you can take or leave it. Good news is about something that's happened. Something that's happened that's relevant to you. And so the Bible tells us that when the angels actually sent the message, it wasn't good ideas, it wasn't good advice, it wasn't good opinions, it was actually good news, good news. But it's interesting, you know, it's worth thinking about this because we live in a society, in a world where there is so much bad news. Even recently, I just heard all this news, one after each other, of bad news. Another death, a murder, an accident, a broken family, blah, 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 blah. There's constant stream of bad news. What makes the Christian message different and what makes Christmas different is that it is the message about good news. But notice this good news. This good news is good news that will cause great joy, and for who? For all people. Great joy for all people. Think about it. If you had a friend who said, if you told me that your friend is, they're expecting their first child, and I said, that's good news. But, you know, it's not going to make a difference in my life. You know, so that's fine. And I'm going to think about what's on television, right? If you told me that your friend got a promotion, well, that's good news. But, okay, fine. That's good for you. Great. Let's move on, right? If you told me your friend's going to be traveling overseas, well, that's fine. Good. I'm going to go home and have a nice lunch. Whatever. See, there's lots of good news around. But a lot of the news doesn't really have much relevance for us. This good news brings great joy, great, great joy, but it is for all people. Now pause and think about that. Here's a piece of news that is both relevant for you and life transforming for you. And not just for those who have it, as it says there, for all people. Not just for the rich or the poor, the sick and the healthy, the good and the bad. It is for all people. It is good news for all people. Well, what's this good news then? What is this good news? There's a few things that the good news tells us. What is this good news? Firstly, it's the good news about a Savior. And you know what a Savior means? The Savior means a rescuer. Now, think about that. We need to get this correct because this good news is not like Gandhi. Gandhi, what was Gandhi? He was an inspiration, a wise teacher, a revolutionary. This is good news about a rescuer, not about a teacher. We can think about the Dalai Lama, an inspiration again, a wise teacher. Well, that's nice. The Christian message, the Christmas message is about good news about a rescuer, not a teacher. Or you can think of William Wallace like Braveheart. He was a revolutionary. He was an inspiration to many people. He inspired many people. The good news that we proclaim at Christmas is not about a person who's going to inspire people. It's about a person who rescues people. Or you can think about the Queen who just recently passed away. Everyone loved her. She was such a model to people. The Christian message, the Christmas message is not about a model. It's about one who rescues. That one who rescues. And that is the message. It's the good news about a Savior. Now that begs the question, what does he save us from? And that's an important question we'll look at later. But it is an important question because when you understand what he saved us from, then you begin to understand why it is good news. But we'll look at that later. The first thing about this good news for everyone that will bring great joy is that it's a news about a rescuer. But there's a second thing about this good news. It's about a Messiah. Now, what does the word Messiah mean? Well, the word Messiah actually is Hebrew. When I did Bible college, I did Hebrew. But I dropped it because it kept looking like Chinese to me. But Messiah is actually Hebrew for Hebrew. The word is in Greek Christ. In English, what's that mean? The chosen one. That is Jesus. The good news is about the one that God has chosen to save. Now, I want you to think about being chosen. I'm told that in Brisbane has been chosen for the Olympics for 2032. That is good news because Brisbane has been chosen. Well, Brisbaneites might think that way. Sydney might not think otherwise. But the fact of the matter is Brisbane was chosen for the Olympics in 2032. Or think about going for a job or maybe being school captain or whatever. You're chosen. That is great news. The good news is that not only God has given us a Savior, but that Savior is one that God has specifically chosen. Now think about what it means to be chosen. It means that if you've been chosen, you cannot unchoose that person. God has chosen that person. You can disagree, you can object, but that's not the point. God has chosen the person, you cannot unchoose. But here's the second thing. If God has chosen this person to be the rescuer, it means that he's the go-to person. It means that he is the one beyond anyone else. There are no other saviors. There are no rescuers except for the one that God has chosen. He is the rescuer. He is the only one by which God will rescue people. And he is the only one because God has chosen that one. Well, who rescue people, and therefore, that is great news, good news of great joy, which is for all people. There's a third thing about this good news, and what is that? He is the Lord. Now, this is an astonishing title that has been given to Jesus. Now, when we think about Lord, what do we think about? We think about the Lords in the UK. Their titles of entitlement. They might not carry much authority or weight. They certainly don't figure very highly on the political scene. They're just merely titles like Mr. or Reverend. But when the Bible tells us that Jesus is Lord, you know what it's actually saying? It says that Jesus is God. Because the word Lord in the Bible becomes synonymous with God. In other words, when we celebrate and we recount the story of a baby Jesus born in the manger 2,000 years ago in a wooden box that's smelly and stinky, what you have there is none other than God in that box. God in a manger. Now I want you to think about that. God in the manger. Here is the baby. In that little bundle there is God who holds the whole universe. In fact, he's the one who created all things. He's the one who created the sun and the moon and the stars. I remember many years ago when my kids were young, and we'd walk around and say, those clouds were made by Jesus. Those flowers are made by Jesus. The stars are held together by Jesus. A lot of people believe in some sort of God. They don't know the name. They don't know what like. But it's the Christmas message is simply this. We know the name of the Creator. And the name of the Creator, his name is Jesus. 2,000 years ago, there was a baby named Jesus. That baby named Jesus is so different because he is God. Now, I want you to think about that. When he say that he's God, it's not only that he's the creator, he is the ruler of all things. You know, we all have our world leaders. We have Biden, and we have Putin, and Xi Jinping. They're all world leaders. But Jesus is the leader of the world. They're not just world leaders. Jesus is the leader of the world. And when you think about it, if they're honest with themselves, they don't just want to be world leaders. They want to be the leader of the world. But the Bible tells us that God has only made one leader, and that leader is Jesus. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. And that means that he is the one before whom everyone will bow, whether they like it or not. Putin will bow before King Jesus. Biden will bow before Jesus, whether they like it or not. Xi Jinping will bow before Jesus, whether he likes it or not. What the good news is that God has chosen a Savior, who is God himself, chosen to rescue people. But that begs the question, what did he come to rescue us from? What did he come to rescue us from? Well, when we look at the world, we can think of a lot of things that we need rescuing from, don't we? We need rescuing from ill health, from bad marriages, from brokenness, from loneliness, from bad work, boring life, debt, depression, war in Ukraine. There's a lot of things that we need being rescued from. But what is the real thing we need to be rescued from? Well, maybe think about a cough, right? When a person comes coughing, what is the reason for coughing? Is it because they got COVID? Is it because they got lung cancer? Is it because it's just a common cold or they got the flu? Or maybe they just ate something, went down the wrong way, and they're coughing up. There's a distinction between the problem and the real problem. So what did Jesus come to save us from? What was our real problem? What is the real problem? Is our real problem poverty? Well, if that's the case, then why is poverty such a big thing these days? It's still big in our world. And if he came to save us from poverty, he hasn't done a great job at it, has he? Maybe he came to save us from ill health and dying of cancer. Well, if that's the case, that's just a dead note because people are still dying of cancer. Or maybe he came to save us from broken families. Well, if that's the case, there's still so many broken families. And I'm not surprised, would not be surprised that even now, even Christians, we're still experiencing the pains of broken family. So what did Jesus come to save us from? Whatever it has, things don't seem to have changed. 2,000 years, we still got all these problems. What did Jesus come to save us from? What is our real problem? And you know our real problem? Rebellion against God. The Bible says that we are in a broken relationship. The broken relationship's not just with each other, not with work, not with our own bodies. The broken relationship that we have is with God. We are living at war with God. We are living in rebellion towards God. And here's the thing. God is living, strangely, in rebellion towards us. Because the relationship is so severed and so broken. And the consequence of that flows into everything else. Do you realize that? You know, delinquency, child problem is a real problem in our society. Kids running wild, getting drugs, crime, all sorts of things, bullying. But the one thing they all do know is this. The psychologists, psychiatrists, and those who are professionals can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I suspect it's right. They can often trace it back to something else, more fundamental. A broken relationship between with their parents. What do they need then? What do they need? Do they need more drugs, more medication, better education, get busy with sports, find a job, get money, new housing? You know what they need? They need peace with their parents. They need reconciliation with their parents. What is it that we need more than anything else? You know what it is we need? We need peace between God and man. Peace between God and man. We need reconciliation there. And when there is peace between God and man, the things just flow out to everything else. Flow out to everything else. So the good news here that Jesus comes to bring, that the good news is that brings great joy, which is for all people, is that Jesus comes and rescues us from our fundamental, most difficult problem, the broken relationship between God and man, of which everything else is merely symptomatic of. He comes to heal that relationship. If that's the case, what do we do with it? And I think there's two things that we do with it. When the shepherds heard about the good news that a Savior's been born, what did they do? They said, let's go to Jerusalem and see. They wanted to go and find out for themselves what this good news is. I know that for some people here, you don't know this good news. You don't know who this Jesus is. Yet the angel's convinced this is the greatest news that the world needs to hear. They wanted to go and find out for themselves, and so that's what they did. And if you don't know Jesus, if this is the very first time that you stepped in church, or this is one of the few times that you step in the church, and you don't know who Jesus is, then I actually want to invite you to do what the shepherds did and to go and see for yourself. But for those who do know the good news, what do? You do what the shepherds do as well. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and note the response. All who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You need to go around and tell them the good news, because this is the good news that will bring great joy for the whole world. You know, when you come to Christmas, we can have our Christmas carols and Mariah Carey. And for some of us, we just want to punch her. Okay, I hope you don't do that. But for some of us, it makes us great, feels good. Some of us makes us feel really bad. One of the cases, if Christmas is all about the songs, all about parties, all about family dinners, isn't it any wonder that for most people, it is one of the most depressing times in the world because they don't have that. What is it that we want to focus on? What is it that we want people to take away from today? What is it we want them to be thinking about today? It is the good news that a Savior has been born to the world. He is the chosen one, the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Lord. He's the one who deals with our most fundamental problem, our broken relationship with God. He restores that, and those who embrace that good news, they begin to experience the joy which Jesus comes to give them. This is the good news that truly brings great joy, which is for all people. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we come to Christmas, we sing our carols, we have our parties, we have our family times, we have our gifts, and many people keep thinking it's all about this. And we keep thinking about all of this, it's not surprising, Lord, that so many people miss out, and for them Christmas is such a difficult time. Help us to remember the good news that truly will bring great joy for all people. Are not these things. It's the fact that Jesus has come to the world and he alone is the chosen one who will restore that relationship, that broken relationship between you and us. For those of us who don't, may they do what the shepherds did and investigate. And for those of us who know, may we spread this good news that will truly bring joy to the whole world. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen.